Father, I give you glory and honor. And as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word gives light. And it brings understanding into our hearts. So let it be in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. And some people say, well, why do you always say that? Well, because the Lord showed it to me a long time ago. And I've always used that every time I stand in the word of the Lord to give a teaching or a message to God's people. You know, it's more like an inspiration to me, myself, you know, to say, and I declare that the entrance of his word will surely bring light and give us understanding. Well, praise the Lord. The benefits of consecrated fasting was yesterday, and inspired by a question at the end of the room yesterday, I thought I would cover this today. Well, I was going to do something in the line of preparedness for our convocation week anyway. So this one, you know, just works out right. So I'm going to be talking about, from the Bible, biblical types of fasting and their purposes that we see in the Bible. So we just take it like a Bible study. But before we get into it, let me lay some kind of a foundation on how the Bible is written. In case you haven't thought about it, but the Bible is written primarily from two perspectives. At least that's my opinion. There is the historical accounts of things in the Bible, and then there are doctrinal writings as well. You know, so for the most part, I like to categorize the Bible like that. Now, how be it, whether it's historical or otherwise, the Bible says that in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're getting into the scriptures now, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or anyone that chooses to follow God closely may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So whether it's historical or it's doctrinal, it's still given by inspiration of God. And all scripture is given. Things that are written are for our examples. So, and I give you some what I mean by historical versus doctrinal. You know, doctrinal could also be point blank commandments. You know, I categorize commandment and other doctrinal writings together as doctrinal. You know, when God points back, commands something, you know, that's the doctrine of the word of God. There is what is called the doctrine of Christ. It's doctrine of the word of God as well. You know, what God commands, point blank. You know, last week or so, we talked about, you know, the obeying God in his, specific will, and also his passive, you know, we talk about active obedience versus passive obedience. Now, some of you might remember that lesson. Active obedience is we are doing something that God's point blank commands. And passive is we're doing something that we know pleases the Lord. You know, he may not have point blank commanded it at that particular instant, but we know that that's his pleasure. So that's passive obedience. Active obedience is point blank doing what he commands. You know, so when we're talking about active obedience, there are commandments in the Bible, and which I call doctrinal. There's a lot of those in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the writings of the, you know, apostles that they gave us, which we today call epistles. There's a lot of doctrine there and teachings and so on. There are also historical accounts, even in the New Testament canon of the Bible, as historical accounts. For example, all, you know, the writings of Luke and the book of Acts. Historical accounts. Now, inside those historical accounts, there's also, you'll find instruction for righteousness. It's all in there. So it's all mixed up. Even the Gospels, the four Gospels, a lot of it are historical accounts. And, you know, even as Luke said, look, the, you know, I've chosen to write unto you the things which Jesus both began to do and to teach. You know, so these people were eyewitnesses, and they wrote what they heard or what was narrated to them by others. You know, but inside of all of that, whether it was historical, there's a lot of teaching. For example, when Matthew was recording the lessons that Jesus gave on the so-called Sermon on the Mount, he was recording what Jesus said. He wrote what Jesus said. But there's a lot of teaching in it. And there's also a lot of doctrine. Jesus even gave us doctrine about how to fast or how we should appear when we fast. We covered that briefly yesterday. So having laid that foundation, I am going to go into this teaching. You know, now some of the things that I will show will be commandments. Some will be, well, it might be historical, it might be anecdotal, but we learn from it all. Now, today's lesson being types of fast that we see in the scriptures, I'm going to just call them out. Now, let me also say this, and I said this yesterday, that, you know, how you fast, you know, is between you and the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, now, the Bible doesn't always, there are some cases where we saw how they fasted. I mean, what they fasted from. In some cases, it just tells us they fasted. Didn't really tell us exactly what they fasted. There were cases when somebody would command the people to fast and ask they abstain from certain things specifically. There were some times that some people chose to abstain from certain things. You know, so we're going to bring it all together and try to see, you know, make some sense out of it all. Because, you know, like I said, a question was asked of me at the end of yesterday's lesson, asked, you know, for me to talk about, you know, Daniel fast or whatever people call it. Well, you know, Daniel wasn't trying to teach a doctrine, you know, when he narrated that story. We'll get to it in a bit. It was just saying what happened, what he did. Now, we may not always be told, you know, how to fast or what to fast from. In some cases, we are in the Bible as we see them. But more importantly, the why, you know, the why. That's the purposes around these fastings that we saw in the Bible. That's the one that I want to concentrate on. We'll cover some of the fastings too we saw. But more importantly, why did they fast? You know, and why should we fast? You know, and if when you fast, how you do it, how many days you do it, how long it is, whether it's what's called a total or a partial fast or this and that and so forth. Well, that's up to you and the Holy Spirit. However, the why is not up to you and the Holy Spirit when we do a consecrated convocation time. That's corporate. You know, when we do corporate, everybody must agree. You know, so agreement is so powerful. Now, you can do personal fasting at different times for many of the reasons that I'm going to call out today. But when we do the convocation and when we do the consecration corporately, we must all agree on the why. And we'll see some examples when the whole people agreed on some why, you know, some reason that they wanted to fast. Okay, so That's the lesson that I'm bringing today, and I trust and hope that it will bless your heart. You know, like I said, I was asked about the Daniel's so-called Daniel's fast. So I'm bringing this out today, cover all of these things about, you know, the types of fasting we see in the Bible, how long they were, and but more importantly, what they were fasting about. Sometimes what they fasted from, fasting from is basically what they deny themselves of, you know, but like I said, more importantly, why they fasted. So let's take a look. Let's look at, now, there may be others. I mean, it's impossible to do an exhaustive study of the Bible concerning any topic at any time. Being a Bible student myself, I know this. You know, so usually when I bring a teaching, I just pick on some key points. You know, especially if you only have an hour to bring it, you can't cover everything. You know, but I will try to put it out there. You know, so there are different kinds of fasts. Let's look at what we've seen in the Bible. You know, the ones that were historical, we'll show them as that. And the ones that, you know, even during the history, you know, we saw some commandments and things that, like I said, scripture is giving for inspiration. So when you read something in the Bible, even if it may not be point blank commanded at that time, it can be for inspiration. That's what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And when you are inspired, you say, wow, you know, you see how the apostles went out by faith, you know, and did all these great things. You could be inspired. You see how people stood in prayer. We read that in Nehemiah yesterday. You could be inspired, you know, to do the same, you know. So, Judges chapter 20 and verse 26. And, you know, this was read in the room yesterday also. You know, some part of the, or maybe the other day, not yesterday, some days ago and so forth. We read this, you know, but in Judges 20 and 26, the people had what we call a one-day fast. Now, I'm not going through this in any order. I just picked out, you know, what I, you know, just a few. That's what's called a one-day fast. Because we were told here, and I want to read that to us quickly. We're told that they fasted till even. You know, that means from sunrise to sunset, basically. You know, was how the people fasted in Judges chapter 20 and verse 26. Now, this particular one is a record of what happened. You know, this is not one that was necessarily commanded. I mean, we saw yesterday we read the places where they were commanded, you know, call a solemn assembly, sanctify a fast, gather the people, and so forth. The one we read in Joel. Those were commandments, you know, to do that, you know, and, which is what we are doing this week. A commandment for convocation. Gather the people means a convocation. Convocation is a gathering, of people. You know, so, you know, in Judges chapter 20, we read, you know, in verse 21 that the people, you know, fasted until even. You know, that's all it says there. You know, it didn't quite say, you know, what exactly, you know, they were fasting about. And we've read this story a couple of days ago, you know, so, you know, just bear that in mind. This was when, you know, the children of Israel went against, up to the Lord to see whether they should go up against Benjamin and so forth, you know, and then, you know, they were told, I mean, they asked something of the Lord, you know, who should go first? The Lord answered them, yeah, you know, but they were defeated, you know, we read and talked about that the other day, you know. And then, you know, we see that they came again. And when they came again, you know, they were they asked up again, you know, what shall we do? And so on and so forth. You know, in this particular place, we are told that, you know, they sought direction from the Lord. Verse 26 is actually what I was looking for. I said 21, but I meant 26. So in verse 26, they came up, and the Bible says they went into the house of the Lord and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even, which means evening. So that's Judges 20:26. Sorry, I said 21, but 26. So they fasted until evening. You know, here we're not told what they fasted from. In other words, what they denied themselves of. You know, but we are told that they came into the house of God and stood there until evening. So this kind of fast is separation from everything, because really, unless they brought food with them, you know, they just came to the house of God and stood there all day till evening. I'm not sure how, when the doors were opened, but they fasted all day till evening. So this is a type of a one day fast. And what were they looking for in this particular case? As we go through this, as we see these instances, we'll also see the why that was behind the fasting, you know. And we can begin to connect them. Maybe you get inspiration. In this case, they were seeking direction from the Lord. Should we do this? Should we go up? And so on, you know. Now, the next one is, we also see, and now this is not in any particular order, like I said, we also see what we call a three-day fast. We see that in the scriptures. And there were a couple of places, the three-day fast without food or drink. Now, Esther, we read it the other day, you know, she wanted the people to pray for her, you know, when she would go before the king to ask what she needed. When their lives were in jeopardy. And in Esther chapter 4, verse 16, I mean, the famous story which we've all read of, you know, you guys fast for me. If I go and I go, if I perish, I perish, that kind of thing, you know. So it's in Esther chapter 4 and verse 16. Go, she said to Mordecai, tell the people, gather together all the Jews. Again, this is a convocation. When every time you gather together, that's a convocation. Gather together the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. So we see that this one was a complete fast. Night and day. So that's complete 24 hours. And it was not just fasting till evening. And they didn't drink or eat anything. So you might call it dry or whatever, but it's a complete fast from any intake by mouth. You know, so anything you will put in your mouth, whether food or drink, they fasted from it for 3 complete days. In this case, she needed some, you know, favor from the king. And that, so the why was to save them from the plan of Haman, who had planned to destroy all the Jews just because Mordecai wouldn't bow down before him or do obeisance to him. So you see that. Now we see also that, you know, Saul, in Acts chapter 9, we're told that after his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, some of you might remember that story, and he was actually struck blind, you know, it looked like in the story that he actually went for 3 days without any food or drink, according to Acts chapter 9 and verse 9. You know, but again, this is a, you know, this is what happened. you know, so this here was not an instruction to do it. It was a record of what someone did. In this particular case, you know, this man was also seeking God's direction. He asked Jesus, Lord, what would you have me do? You know, when the Lord actually told him, look, you can't fight against, you can't kick against the freaks. You are persecuting me. You know, you thought you were doing me in service, but no, you're actually persecuting me. And so he was broken. He was just broken before the Lord. And to continue in that brokenness, to get something out of it, he went, we're told here, and he was 3 days without sight. He was blinded, you know, by the glory and everything that came upon him. And neither did he eat nor drink. So that's another 3 days that he went, you know. And so these ones were like that, you know, we're told how long they went, and they ate nothing or drank nothing. But, you know, in the case of Esther, it was a convocation. In the case of Saul, it was an individual. So there's a difference between convocation, a gathering of the people, and an individual. Okay? So let's move on. So we've talked about the 1 day, we talked about the 3 day. You know, there's also the 7 day. You know, there's a thing called a 7 day fast. And we see at least one reference of it in 1 Samuel chapter 31. Now let's take a look at that quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 13. You know, so in this story, let me find the right verse here and read it. Okay. Now, You can read all of the story, interesting story, always something interesting. Anytime, you know, Samuel, there's always something interesting. But here, you know, for the sake of time, let me just drop down to this one verse. You know, it took their bones, buried them under a tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. So, you know, for some context, you know, when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead, you know, heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, you know, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul, the bodies of his sons, from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones, buried them under a tree. So this was a fasting for mourning. After Saul and his sons were killed. You can read the rest of the story later on. They fasted 7 days. We don't know what they fasted from, but it was a fasting of mourning. You know, they were grieving from the death of Saul and his sons. You know, there's not too much interesting, consecration here in this one, but it was more like grief. And they had this culture back then to mourn their kings and this and this, you know, sons of the king and all of these things. So that was a 7 day fast. You know, there was a 10 day fast. So I've covered 3 already. 1 day, 3 day, 7 day. Now what about a 10 day fast? Well, there was a 10 day. Now in this one, which I just covered also, we don't know what exactly they fasted from. Just say they fasted. So in some cases, we are not told what they fasted from, but they just fasted. For example, the 10-day fast recorded in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his companions, you know, refrained from eating the king's dainty meats. And, you know, they said, look, prove us 10 days. And give us pulse, vegetables, and these kinds of things to eat. And let's see if we won't turn out better than the others. So in Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, say, prove thy servants, I beseech you, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So it was a selective kind of fasting, if you will. You know, people refer to it. It didn't specifically call it a fast. It might be a diet, you know, but fasting is anytime you abstain from something. You know, we talked about that yesterday. Sometimes it's just abstinence from something. Sometimes it's consecrated fasting when it has a purpose behind it. If you're just abstaining for whatever reason, or you just didn't get a chance to eat, well, you know, that's there. But, you know, sometimes when you put a purpose and a mission behind it, it becomes consecrated. So for 10 days, they had this, you might call it some kind of a fast, but it was more like, more or less like a diet, you know, that they chose to undergo, you know. And in this particular case, they were also trusting God that their countenances would be fairer and fatter than the children of Israel that were eating the king's meat. So this was a choice of something they chose to abstain from, you know. And then there is a record of an incident. Now, in this particular story, we see some hidden benefits of abstaining from certain kinds of foods. These people trusted in, you know, in the Lord to give, you know, to give them strength and make their countenance fairer just from eating vegetables and things like that, pulse, maybe beans, maybe these things, you know, and they chose to get away from all those meats. There may be some inspiration and some wisdom there, but it's not a commandment. It's just something they did, but it's recorded. All right. Now, in Acts chapter 27, Paul was caught in the midst of this shipwreck, you know, that was happening. The storm and everything. Paul had told them not to go, but they went, and they were about to perish. And Paul had told them that, look, we will not perish, but let's stay in the ship. If you jump ship, you will perish. And we're told in Acts chapter 27 from verses 33 and 34, we're told that, you know, these people had been abstaining from food, whether by choice or otherwise, we don't know, you know, but it looked like for 14 days they had been abstaining from food. You know, so you can read that in Acts chapter 27 and verse 33. You know, and so it says, while the day was coming on, Paul beset them all to take meat and said to them, this is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Well, I don't know why they were fasting in this case. Maybe they were just lost their appetite because their lives were about to end. They were about to perish in that storm, you know. And but for 14 days, it looks like they had not eaten. And Paul might have turned his own to an advantage and in seeking the Lord, because we know that during that time, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him that no one would perish. I'll give you all the lives of the people with you in this boat. Maybe he turned his own to a spiritual fast. You know, others, maybe they were fasting because they despaired of, they were just, you know, thought they would, their lives would end. You know, so we don't know why they fasted, but it's a record here that for 14 days, they hadn't eaten anything. Paul, on the other hand, during those 14 days, he was seeking the Lord, I think, because he had an encounter also that gave him confidence of the outcome, you know, of that. He gave them instruction too out of that. Look, no lives will be lost, but you must not jump ship. And now that's a lesson too. You know, don't jump ship. The Lord is the ship, the ark of safety. If you jump ship, there's no guarantee that things will turn out right. But you must stay in the boat. That's what Paul told them. He said, look, there will be no loss of life, but these must stay in the boat. And except you stay in the boat, you cannot be saved. You know, so, but for 14 days, they went without food. Well, there's yet another one, you know, some kind of fasting. You know, in fact, this is the one I was asked about yesterday. Yeah, in Daniel chapter 10, we see that this Daniel went for several days on some kind of fast. He wasn't exactly, you know, fasting from everything. It was a selected kind of fasting. You know, he chose to deny himself of things that he would normally enjoy. And he chose a different kind of diet for that time to afflict his soul. You know, the psalmist said, I afflicted my soul with fasting. Well, let's see how Daniel did it in Daniel chapter 10. You know, this whole chapter of Daniel chapter 10, you know, will tell us how, you know, he said, in those days, I, Daniel, from verse 3, I was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, take a notice of the word mourning. I was mourning, he was grieved. 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. You know, so maybe he ate bread, but he didn't eat pleasant bread. Maybe he ate the bread of affliction. You know, the one that wasn't made just right. You know, maybe the one that, you know, did not have nourishment in it. You know, we don't know. But the bread he chose during this time was not pleasant. And, you know, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither, you know, did I anoint myself at all. You know, not even olive oil, you know. I mean, some people take oils, you know, and so forth. There is fish oil. There's all kinds of things that people have made these days that can actually, you know, they make these vitamins, some of them from oils and so forth. It can actually make your skin look better, you know, and so on, we're told. Or even external oils. There's internal oils. There's external oils. You know, we're not told whether this one was external or internal. But he said, look, I didn't anoint myself at all with oil. So that looks, in this case, maybe external. And then he said, look, you know, I went like that for 3 whole weeks until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Well, people have taken this and called it the Daniel's fast or whatever. You know, no doctrine should be made out of this. Just like all these other ones that I've read, there are historical accounts in some cases. You know, you can get inspiration out of it, but this one was not a commandment. It was something that Daniel did, you know, because, you know, he really wanted the people to go home from the captivity. And we saw that during the days of his fasting and praying, even in the previous chapter, chapter 9, how, you know, he prayed, confessed the sins of both his their fathers, the people, identified himself with the people. He did not take a holier than thou attitude and did not pray like, look, this your people have sinned. He said, we have sinned. And because you are a righteous God, that's the reason why this confusion of faces have come upon us, because we have departed from your ways, you know, and so on and so forth, you know. But I'm focusing more on the types of fasts that we see in the Bible, you know. So these are some of the fasts, you know. As you listen to this, you may find other stories in the Bible. But like I said, I just picked out a few. We also saw a 40-day fast. Now, before I go to that one, you know, this man was talking about pleasant things. You know, that's also an aspect of fasting. You know, denying yourself of pleasure. We read in Isaiah 58 yesterday where God was challenging them that in the day of your fast, you exerted your labors, you found pleasure. I mean, so fasting is a way, that also means that you can fast from doing the things that you would normally enjoy, you know, and just put yourself in a state of mourning, which helps brokenness. You know, the psalmist said, I afflicted my soul with fasting. You know, so, you know, And so instead of thinking of food, which Jesus warned us, we read that yesterday in Luke 21 and 34, not to be, you know, just consumed with food. I mean, sometimes we think about food a lot. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? You know, and I mean, actually, we crave certain types of food. Today, we feel like I got to have that, you know, that ice cream with that cherry topping, with that this and that. You know, sometimes you just crave certain foods. You know, I want this, you know. I remember some years ago, I don't do this thing anymore. It's maybe 20 years or more. But I used to eat this thing they called Colossus, you know, from one hamburger place. It had like three patties, you know. I mean, like seven strips of bacon. The thing was a killer, you know. I mean, I don't know. You eat that one, you are looking for trouble. But, you know, when I was a young man or younger, I ate anything. And there were times I used to crave that thing. Now, sometimes some people crave to have ice cream, crave to have this, crave to have cake and sweet things, and just crave these things. You enjoy these things. Nothing wrong with that, as long as they don't take a hold of you. You know, Paul said, look, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Now, if any food has brought you under its power, then that's part of the reasons you need to fast to break that. I'm going to come to that towards the end of this lesson. You know, so, you know, many reasons why they fasted. And sometimes you can deny yourself of those things, come into the presence of the Lord and just stay there. That's a kind of fast too. You can even deny yourself of so many other things. Social media, contact with people, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. You know, anytime you deny yourself in order to make yourself available to God during a time of fasting, it's called consecration. You know, because now you're setting yourself apart for God for that time. You know, so the 40-day fast, as far as I can tell, there were like three instances in the Bible. One of them actually did it twice. You know, but we saw that Moses was a man that did this 40-day fast in Exodus 34 and 28. Moses neither ate nor drank water for 40 days. My goodness. You know. And then also in Deuteronomy chapter 9, we see the same thing. You know, this man went in this experience, you know, more than once. And when he went into the presence of the Lord, went up on the mount and all of that, it was an absolute, you know, abstinence, not only from food, of course. He got away from all the people. He was right there in the presence of the Lord. There was nothing else with him. You know, he didn't even have water. We don't, you know, I mean, that is, nobody should attempt this one. You know, and we're not asking you to attempt this one, but I'm just showing you the ones that are in the Bible. He said he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenants, the Ten Commandments. Now, he was going to go get the words of the Lord, which they needed badly at that time. And he put himself through that 40 days and 40 nights. No food and no water. Well, we don't even know how he survived it except for the grace of God. You know, now, but he did it. And he, of course, you know, he came back. The glory of God was shining on his face and everything. You know, so, and then there is also a record in Deuteronomy chapter 9. He talked about, you know, some of his experiences. Now, again, this is not a commandment. this is a record of what happened. You know, so I explained that from the beginning. So when I was gone up into the mount, Deuteronomy chapter 9, you know, verse 9, to receive the tables of stone, even the tables, you know, of the covenant which the Lord made with you, and I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me the two tables of stone at that time, written with the finger of God, and so on and so forth. You know, and we jump down here to, I think verse 18, you know, of the same chapter. And it says, and I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. You know, so this is the second time that he's doing it. And did eat neither bread nor drink water because of your sins. You know, this was the time when he went back to cry unto the Lord, you know, after all that the people did wickedly, provoking, you know, did all kinds of things, you know, golden calf and all and so on. You know, so he stood in the gap. So he did it twice. He said, as at the first. So I did it again. Another 40 days. Well, you know, there was a young man that was hanging around Moses. His name was Joshua. We don't know, but he might have experienced some of that, because we're told that he, you know, stayed at the bottom of the mount and did not depart the whole time, well, at least one of those times that Moses was up there. Joshua just stayed right there at the bottom of the mount. But whether he had food or drink, we don't know, but he was there. You know, so yes, you know, this is one 40-day fast. No food, no water. Some people think that this cannot be done. It was done. We see that Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and verse 8, you know, he went 40 days as well. You know, 40 days of fasting. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, we read in verses 2 to 4, and you know, that Jesus also went 40 days. So these three, Elijah, Moses, and Jesus, went these 40 days fasting. And I mean, they were great deliverers in their times. And it's noteworthy that these three men met in Matthew chapter 17 on what we call Mount Transfiguration. Jesus was there, was transfigured, light all around him. And next thing you know, Moses and Elijah appeared and they talked to him. And what were they talking about on that particular occasion? They were discussing the death that Jesus should suffer. But why was it important to them? Well, I think Moses and Elijah were not so much as interested in the death, but the resurrection of the Christ, because they were counting on his resurrection for their own resurrection later on. Now, these folks will come back. If you don't think they know about it, they knew about it. They'll come back in what we call the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. We see that, and their ministries that are described there, you know, even though they are not named point blank, but the way the book of Revelation 11 describes, you know, all of their, the things that they would do in the days of their ministry, we know it had to be, Moses and Elijah, because they have power to shut heaven so that it does not rain in the days of their ministry. I mean, they have power, you know, call down fire from heaven, you know, and so forth, you know, against their enemies. I mean, they have power to strike the earth with all kinds of plagues. I mean, these are the things that Moses did and Elijah did, shutting the heavens, calling down plagues, doing all of these things, smiting the earth with all kinds of plagues, and so on and so forth. So, you know, it perfectly describes the ministry of those two men. Well, these three 40-day fasted men met for some reason in Matthew chapter 17. Now, there, you know, this, like I said, let me just go quickly over this and I'll go into the second part of this lesson. You know, I have laid this out just as examples of what we found or can find in the Bible. You may find other places of fastings. We talked about the ones they did in the book of Jonah. You know, many places where the king of Nineveh told everybody to fast. In that case, we're not told how long, you know, but they were all told to fast, not eat or drink, but they were not told how long. The ones that I brought out are just the ones that gave time to it. There are many other places where people fasted different times, but you know, in some cases, we're not told how long. So this one, I've showed the type of fast and how long they fasted. And in some cases, the reasons why they fasted. Now, you know, so, and like I said, many of these instances were historical events that were recorded. They are not commandments. Nobody is commanded to go and fast for 40 days and 40 nights now. You know, and Jesus said, then shall they fast in the days that the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. But he didn't say how long you will fast. He didn't even say what they will fast from. He leaves that to the Holy Spirit, you know, but you will fast, you know, and then when we cover this next part and throughout this week, you will see reasons why you fast. Yesterday and today is just a preparation to usher us in, but we'll be covering the reasons why we do the consecrated fasting. Let's look at some reasons, you know, that they people did these things. You know, apart from the ones that we have read, the focus on the ones we read before were just to see those, how long those were, and whether they were total or partial, or whether they were, you might look at them like some kind of diet or denial or this and that. You know, so those are out there. Now, what about specific reasons, you know, why, I mean, people fasted, you know, from time to time in the Bible? Some of it we covered yesterday, and let me cover them again quickly. The book of Jonah, you know, the king of Nineveh, we read that in Jonah chapter 3. He commanded everybody. That was a fasting for repentance, because Jonah came and pronounced judgment. Yet 40 days, and this great city shall be overthrown. And he went, you know, throughout the city shouting that and declaring it. And when it did not, when it was noised abroad and brought to the king put ashes on his head, took away his robe, commanded everybody to repent and to fast and to pray. So that one was for repentance, you know, and, but we're not told how long, but he told them to do it. How many days? We don't know. But it was also a total kind of fast, you know, and the king even went to not just human beings. He said, don't even feed your cattle. Don't feed anybody. Don't feed anything, you know, for, you know, and just call upon the name of the Lord your God. Maybe he will turn his fierce anger away from us. And we saw that, of course, the Lord actually did spare that great city. There's a lot of people in that city that God spared at that time. So we've seen the reasons why people are fast here and here. Let not man, a beast, or herd, or flock taste anything. That's what he said. Don't taste anything at all. You can read that in Jonah chapter 3, you know, verse 7. The king caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. You know, and this man went even beyond. I mean, normally it's people that cover themselves with sackcloth and sit down in ashes. He said, look, do it even for your beasts. Cry mightily unto God. You know, let everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. How do we know? Maybe God will repent and turn away this evil and his fierce anger that we perish not. So we see the reason why they fasted here. Now, I'm going to the why now. The whys are more important in my opinion, and I think also I have the Spirit of God, say it like Paul used to say, the why is more important than how long you fast and what you fast from. You know, we're not told in most cases, you know, what to fast from. They say, you know, they fasted. Sometimes we're told anything that entered the mouth. So we know anything whatsoever that entered the mouth. Sometimes, you know, they even fasted from, you know, from even social contact. You know, if they come into the house of the Lord and stay there all day long, that means they're even getting away from social contact. Get rid of the phone. Get rid of all those things. Just come there and stay in his presence. That's a great kind of fast. You know, so we see that. We see that in the book of Nehemiah, you know, chapter 1 and verse 4, we see that he also, you know, we read some stuff in the book of Nehemiah yesterday in chapter 9. But I want to read, one verse or so in chapter 1, verse 4. You see, he said, look, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. Well, we're not told how many days. And prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear, O Lord, be attentive and thine eyes open. That's right. And he began to beseech the Lord. You know, so we see what he was fasting about here. You know, let the prayer of thy servant be heard, which I pray before thee today, night and day, for the children of Israel. And I confess our sins and so forth, which we have sinned against thee, both me and my father's house and everything. I have dealt corruptly. So he began to do confession here. You know, and he reminded himself of what Moses said, that look, if you turn away from the Lord will give you up. You know, but if you return, then the Lord will gather you with mercies. I mean, he prayed a prayer of confession. Now, for the most part, this is the greatest kind of consecrated fasting that we need, is to come and pray the prayer of confession, the prayer of cleansing. Because this, you know, most of the time, our flesh is what's hindering us from attaining the fullness of God. You know, and if we as a people can come together and cry unto God, God can do great things. You know, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 3 to 6, you know, here's another place where people are praying for repentance. I mean, fasting, calling upon the name of the Lord. I'm just showing us, you know, some of the reasons why people gather together and prayed. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 7, you know, verse 3 says, Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, that's repentance, and put away the strange gods, you know, and Ashtaroth, you know, from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, you know, and he will deliver you out of the hands, you know, of the Philistines and so forth. And the children of, you know, Israel did put away all of that and so forth, you know. And then he said, look, you know, he said, he gathered and said, I'll pray unto the Lord for you. And they gathered together into a place. They drew water and they fasted on that day. And they said, you know, this one looks like it was just one day fast, you know, but they had water. You know, they poured it out before the Lord. Instead of drinking the water, they actually poured it out before the Lord. So that's one way of fasting. I'm reminded that David did something like that one time when his valiant men went, risked their lives to get him water. And he said, wow, I'm not even going to drink this. I'm going to pour it out unto the Lord. You know, and these people, the water they could have drank, they poured it out unto the Lord. And they said, we have sinned against the Lord. And they prayed and fasted. So that's another prayer of repentance during fasting. Well, what about Joel chapter 2, the one we read yesterday? This is a point blank commandment, you know. So this is not, you know, just a story of recording of what happened. This is a point blank commandment that we are commanded you know, to pray and to seek the face of the Lord, to gather together in a convocation setting. You know, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, we see that even the chapter opens up with, you know, blowing the trumpet in Zion, sounding an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. And they begin to tell them and so forth. Now you go down to verse 12 and you see where it talks about even, you know, whether it is, you know, here's what it says. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping. Now, rend your hearts, not just your garments. Turn to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, no great mercy. The Lord will repent him of evil. Who knoweth but if the Lord will repent and turn and leave us a blessing, and so on. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Now, these are point blank commandments. So this is not just a record of what happened. And meanwhile, God had promised the great things that God is going to do. You know, he said, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. His camp is very great. He's strong that executed, you know, the camp of the Lord. I mean, his voice. He has already talked about, you know, the army of the Lord here. You know, so prophetically, you can look at it this way. That look, there's great things that's coming that the Lord promised. This great army, this great company that's going to rise. Well, but before it comes, there is a need for a call to repentance. Hallelujah. You know, so that's what we're going to be doing this week. I'm going to speak more about this one during this week, but I'm just going to leave this here for the sake of time right now. I'm going to be speaking more about this one. You know, so, but he said, look, turn your heart with fasting and with weeping and mourning and rend your hearts and not, you know, not just your garments. And the Lord will turn and leave a blessing. And we're commanded point blank, you know, gather, you know, say, look, you know, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Now, this is a convocation. Now, it's best when it's done in person. Somebody yesterday was talking about, you know, camp meeting. Well, if the Lord allows it, we'll do this one of these days, you know, but we're doing it virtually today or this week. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. And those are so good. Now, this one, no children left behind. Many times, parents, when they go to night vigil or these prayer meetings, and so they just leave their children. They even hire babysitters, leave the children at home. What's that all about? Drag your children along to these things. You know, say, look, let their children, everyone, even babies that are still sucking the breast, don't leave them at home with babysitters while you go and seek the Lord. Why? What's that all about? You know, I remember when my children were growing up, my wife and I, we were in Nigeria many years ago. We used to go to all these night vigils every week, long, all night long Friday meetings. Whatever left the children anywhere, drag them with us, whether they want to go or not. In fact, they'll be sleeping. Doesn't matter. Lay them down, cover them. You know, mosquitoes and everything. We turn on this thing called mosquito coils. Some of you might remember that. Didn't matter. They went with us. You know, don't leave the children out. Gather the children, gather everybody, you know, let even the bridegroom, the bride, everything, let the priest, the ministers weep between the porch and the altar. Cry, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. Now, this is the convocation that we're going to be doing this week. You know, this is powerful call. This is not just a suggestion. It's a powerful call. And, you know, he said the Lord will be jealous for his people and so on. So, that's another reason, you know, to fast and to pray. You know, sometimes when you don't know what to do, Ezra chapter 8, you know, there's a story in Ezra chapter 8. And, you know, Ezra, you know, the story of Nehemiah and Ezra, they are actually combined, even though they are separated books in the Bible. You know, they are a combined story. In the book of Ezra, chapter 8, you know, let's just read a few verses here. You know, Ezra said, look, in verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and a way for our little ones and for our substance. Why? Because he had boasted about the name of the Lord, that the Lord is able to protect them and so forth. So he said, I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers to help us, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon them for good that seek him. His power and his trust against those that forsake him and so forth. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. So this one, this particular story is, look, what I've said before about God's name is his reputation. You know, this man is saying, look, we boasted in your name, so I'm not going to go to the king for, you know, an escort of soldiers. I already boasted that the Lord is able to do this thing. So now, therefore, let us seek the Lord to do it. I'm not going to seek for the help of man. And they sought the Lord. Give them direction, what to do in this particular case, and so on and so forth. And they are going to take this journey to go do this great work of rebuilding and so on. But they needed to pray for the Lord's protection. You know, so that's another, you know, time that they prayed for protection. They did fasting for protection. Now, one of the fastings we are going to be doing, or the reasons in this next convocation, is breaking strongholds. So, you know, we're going to deal with that. You know, those strongholds that are written in the book of Isaiah 58, you know, bands of wickedness, you know, those heavy burdens, you know, those oppressing spirits and those yokes, you know, we're going to be dealing with those things during this, consecration. Isaiah 58 verse 6 talks about many things that we can break during fasting. So we're going to be talking about that as we go through these lessons. Now, there are many more things to say about types of fasting and reasons why people fast in the Bible, but I thought that this would be at least sufficient. But for this week, again, here's the announcement in case you missed it. We also posted it on our WhatsApp platform. And if you're not yet part of that for announcements, you might choose to join. You can send me your information, back channel me, and we add you on. We're using now for announcement. We've announced that this week will be a convocation week. Now, remember, the word convocation means a gathering. Gather the people, assemble everybody, and so on. We come in singleness of purpose, you know, but we're going to do consecrated fasting with prayer and seeking the face of the Lord. And it is important, the why of it, we will be dealing with it as we go through every day. But, you know, today's lesson was just to show you the different kinds of fasts they had in the Bible. Yeah, but most of the time, the record of what they did, sometimes it was just a fast, we're told. Sometimes we're not told what they fasted from. Sometimes we are told what they fasted from, you know. And, you know, Jesus never commanded anybody to fast from any particular thing. Neither did the apostles write about it. I mean, these things were noticeably absent in their writings. They commanded a lot of things, abstain from fornication, abstain from things strangled, do this, do that, you know, don't walk in bitterness, you know, have the fruit of the Spirit, do all of these things. I mean, it was noticeably missing the fasting and the praying and the commandments of how to do it. They just kind of left that there, you know. But the Holy Spirit is telling us today, because Jesus said it, in those days they will fast. And these are those days. You know, so I'm also putting it out there, but I'm not going to tell you how or what to fast from during this week, but I'm going to tell you that we must fast. And the reason is, Lord, spare thy heritage, you know, and, you know, all the things that are held back that God has promised us. We need direction. We need strategy. We need deliverance for our children, our grandchildren who walked away from the Lord. You know, we need an outpouring that God has promised. I mean, you just need to get in on that prayer when God has promised something. Elijah, even though the Lord told him the rain was coming, He didn't just go up and eat and drink. He sent Ahab to go and eat and drink, but he did not go up and eat and drink. His own was fasting. He went up and put his head between his knees and began to pray. We don't know how long he did that, but we're told that at least 7 times, you know, sent his servant to go check it out. How long it was between each of those times, we don't know. But he spent a long time praying until he prayed that thing through, even though God already promised it. So those are the things we're going to be doing in this consecration week. The things that God has already promised, we're going to pray them through. That's what we're going to be doing. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. You'll have to listen to yesterday's lesson and today's combined to get the background that we're laying out for this week's convocation week. Convocation week starts tomorrow. And let me say what that means. That means when you come in this room starting tomorrow, we are in agreement on some kind of fasting that you are doing. You may choose to fast a whole day from morning till evening. We've seen that. You may choose to make it a fast of separation of pleasant things. We've seen that. You may choose to make it a partial fast. We've seen that. You know, you may choose to make it a 3-day fast. We've seen that. You may choose to make it 1 day, 7 days. You may choose to fast a whole week. We've seen all of these things. I'm going to leave that up to you. You know, but let's be in agreement and do it together. Let's come on in here. Every day you are in fasting consecration mode, and let's trust the Holy Spirit to lead us through this week. And if we do it right, we've seen many times in this Bible, even I read you the story of King Ahab yesterday, how wicked it was and so forth. And when he turned his heart to the Lord with fasting, we saw what happened, you know. So if we do it right, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the first time that we're doing a week-long convocation since we started this room. I did one for about 4 days, for 4 days a couple of months ago. But, you know, this one we're doing for a whole week. You know, so what was that? Thought I heard something. We're doing it for a whole week this time around. So we have opportunity, to bring ourselves before the Lord, to humble ourselves with fasting. You know, Psalm 35, you know, verses 13 and 14 said, look, I humbled my soul with fasting. In this particular place, he was actually even praying for his friends. So we can pray for our friends. You know, even those that despised him, even his enemies, you know, they were friends at one time. They became enemies, you know, but he was still praying for them. You know, the psalmist said, look, these are people that, you know, now despise me and so forth. They say all kinds of things. But for me, as for me, when they were sick, you know, I prayed for them and I humbled my soul with fasting and so forth. So these things are in the Bible, you know. And I've tried to just lay it out here, you know, to put it out for us. So this is one of the reasons also why we can fast. You can fast for somebody who could have been your friend or brother, but turned your back against you. You know, Psalm 35 verses 13 and 14 will tell you that. But you know, God can heal that too. You know, this one takes a special grace for you to fast for somebody that, you know, hate your guts. You know, but, you know, I'm going to leave it out there. We'll be calling out some things that we'll be fasting and praying about during this next week. But if you have understood these things, I invite you to give a reaction in the chat room. You can say yes. You can say amen. You can give a thumbs up. You know, I need a show. You know, I know if I call people to come to the stage, a few will come, many will not come. But even if you don't come to the stage, put your agreement in the chat room. Now, you know, this is important. you know, I want to see people who will agree to be with us in the chat room for this next week. It can be one day, it can be two, it can be three, it can be all seven. It can be full, complete, it can be partial. Well, I do not recommend anybody to go any long fasting without water. That's not good for your kidneys. That's not good. But, you know, God, sometimes he calls for it, you know, and we've seen it in the Bible. But, you know, this one, definitely you can drink water, even if you are fasting from food. Water has no food value. There's a lot of things that can break your fast when you're fasting from food. If you are even chewing gum that has sugar, that's breaking your fast. You know, but people do all kinds of things, you know. I'm going to leave that to you when you fast. But let me see anyone that says amen and agreed. You know, put something in the chat room. Remember, in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, chapter 5, we are told to be careful. Don't just make a vow before the Lord, you know, because the angels don't, they're looking at it and they don't like it. You know, so, and he says, look, when thou vowest a vow before God, Ecclesiastes 5 and 4, and I'm taking a vow from the people today, you know, defy not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay what thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say before the angel, I was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at your voice? You know, and so on. So, the voice, this is the voice that can command angels, but if you use that same voice to say something, well, command angels means you speak the word of God. Let me correct that. I've told it many times. Psalm 103 verse 20. The way you actually command angels is to speak God's word. The angels go into action. Okay, so let's clear that up. You can't command angels directly. But if you use that same voice to say something before the Lord and you don't do it, well, the Lord may be angry at that voice and he may not do some other things for you. So for our voice to be heard in unity to this week, I'm going to pray for everyone that has said yes in the chat room. I want you to also raise your hand. I'm just going to pray that God will give us the strength, myself included. I'm raising my hand, even though I'm on the stage. You can't see it, but I'm raising my hand. You know, if you are going to believe God, for God to help you during this consecration. This thing is not easy, folks. The spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. You know, so raise your hand and I'm going to pray for everybody. This is just for the prayer of grace to do this consecration. This is not for you to come up and speak. So don't worry about that. Because some people don't want to come to the stage to speak. I'm not doing that right now. But I'm going to pray. You know, if you said yes in the chat room, then also raise your hand and I'm going to pray. And I'm doing this for a reason, because, you know, there's a cloud of witnesses. You said yes, you know, so God is looking. We are also looking. So you better be here, you know, and so on. So, and join us as you can. I'm going to pray that the enemy will not be able to prevent you from this thing, because God is fixing to do something incredible. You know, maybe you've never experienced anything quite like this, but come in expectation. And I'm putting my own yes and amen in the chat room as well. See, I just posted that. Yes and amen. You know, I'm saying yes to the Lord. And I'm saying amen, so let it be. And that's my prayer for you today. For those of you that said yes, I'm praying that God will give you the grace that it will be so. The distractions that will prevent you from coming as often as you can. I know people do work and sometimes you may not be able to come, but do come. You know, make an effort to come, even if it's just for a few minutes. And be in agreement with us throughout this week. But more importantly, be in agreement on that fasting. We've got to give up some things. Give up some pleasure. Give up some dainty meats, give up your craving for ice cream or sweets or this and that. You know, let's afflict our souls before the Lord and let's believe God together. So, okay, now I'm going to pray over the hands. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone that has said yes to you, Lord. He said, thy people, according to Psalm 110 verse 3, they shall be willing and they shall be ready in the day of thy power. Lord, for everyone that said yes, make them willing. For according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his pleasure. Lord, make us to be willing. We said yes, but we know that the flesh is weak. When it comes time to fast, that's when you are going to remember that you have not taken your morning coffee or this and that. You know, some people are just addicted to that coffee. They can't fast because of the coffee. Well, that's the thing that you should give up. Anything that you are addicted to during this time that you just can't do without it, that's the fast that you should take during this week. Give it up, you know, for the Lord this week. And then see what the Lord will do. Say, he that will deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he it is that will be my disciple. So, Father, give strength to everyone here today as we embark on this journey together. And we know where we are headed. We don't know the way, but you know the way. And we pray that we will put our footsteps one step after the other into your footsteps that have gone ahead of us. The Lord said, I will go before thee. And I am the Lord that doth go with thee. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And be not afraid. So Lord, thank you for the strength. Thank you for the grace. We cannot do this on our own, but we want to do it. Therefore, help us. You know, the Lord can even take, I've done it many times. I'll just pray that Lord will just take that desire for food and this and that, take it out of there. And God can do it. Lord, I pray that as many as want to spend this time in consecration with us, give them the grace to overcome that thing that so easily besets us. Whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a sin. Yeah, sin is there, but it doesn't have to be. It can be a craving. A craving for something. It may not even be sinful, but it's just a craving. Craving for ice cream is not necessarily sinful, but it becomes sinful when it takes over you and makes you you choose that above God. Then anything we choose above God becomes sinful. So let's put away all the idols in our lives this week, and then let's choose the Lord and make him our chief joy. God grant strength to everyone in here this today in the mighty name of Jesus as we embark on this journey this week, day after day, one day at a time. Though, ladies and gentlemen, we're taking one day at a time. You know, don't promise to do great things and then you can't do it. Just do one day at a time. The Lord gives you grace for more, so be it. You know, better you should not promise than for you to fail the promise. Don't say, I'm going to do 4 days, 5 days, and then on day one, you break it. That's not a good thing. Better you do one day and trust the Lord for grace for the next day and just do incrementally like that. Now, if you have grace for more, do it as well. But those are words of wisdom. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.